Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the US President Donald Trump has said this morning that he will meet the Russian leader Vladimir Putin as soon as possible, as delegations from the United States, Ukraine and Russia gather in Turkey today for critical peace talks. He was speaking to reporters at a business summit in Qatar as he wrapped up his four-day tour of the Middle East. Here's some of what he had to say.
I think it's time for us to just do it. I said, they all said Putin was going and Zelensky was going. And I said, if I don't go, I guarantee Putin's not going. And he didn't go. And I understand that. But we're going to get it. We're going to get it done. We've got to get it done. 5,000 young people are being killed every single week on average. And we're going to get it done.
Were you surprised when Zelensky didn't show up either, sir? Were you surprised when Zelensky didn't show up either?
No, he didn't show up because he heard Putin wasn't going, so...
When do you think you'll meet the president?
As soon as we can set it up.
That's a game of chess, isn't it? Well, I'm joined by Siobhan O'Grady, Ukraine Bureau Chief for the Washington Post. Siobhan, thanks for being with us. So the focus seems to be on this face-to-face meeting now between the Russian President Putin and Donald Trump. Is there any expectation that meaningful progress can happen today as these bilateral talks are happening in Turkey between lower levels, delegations from each of the countries?
I don't think that we expect any major breakthrough. And in fact, Secretary of State Marco Rubio already said the same thing, that considering the low level of the Russian delegation, it just doesn't seem likely that any major progress will be made. But what we might see is some progress towards setting up a future meeting also between Putin and Zelensky, which we've heard could possibly be discussed today. Of course, these are early discussions, and Zelensky already said he would be happy to have met with Putin this week had Putin shown up to Turkey. So, just in that clip that was just played, obviously, it's interesting to hear Trump say, of course, Zelensky didn't show up because Putin didn't show up. Zelensky was actually in Turkey at meetings elsewhere in the country, and he could have quickly gotten to Istanbul, but was clearly waiting to see if Putin showed up. So I think what we're going to see today is discussion of a potential future meeting between Putin and Zelensky, as that talk also happens in the background about Trump meeting Putin, which would almost certainly happen first.
So in terms of what is actually happening today, can you talk us through it? Because we had the Russian officials meeting the Americans today at an Istanbul hotel. That's what I'm seeing coming through on the wires here. So there is a series of meetings happening.
Yes. So we have Ukrainians separately meeting Americans, Russians separately meeting Americans. And then we expect that any minute now, the Russian delegation will sit down with Turkish representatives and with the Ukrainians. I don't believe that we expect necessarily a U.S. presence in that meeting, though it is possible. And it's also not clear what language this will be conducted in. It will just be, there's so many dynamics to watch for. I mean, the Ukrainian delegation that will meet and speak directly to the Russian delegation is led by Rustem Umerov. He is Ukraine's Minister of Defense. He's also Crimean. His family was expelled from Crimea during Stalin's purge in the 1940s. And he has said before that restoring Crimea to Ukraine, of course, Crimea being the peninsula that Russia illegally annexed in 2014, that is his personal struggle. So we will see people sitting across the table from each other. The Russians don't believe that Umerov's identity exists. They don't believe that Crimea is Ukraine. They don't believe in his country's right to even exist beyond Crimea, obviously, as a sovereign state, as we've seen. So the dynamics are going to be very tense. And I think we all wish that it was open for us to watch, but we're going to try to get as much as we can out of the delegates once they're out of that room.
Mm-hmm. And we're all trying to figure out as well what Donald Trump's view is of the Russian president, because he seemed to be very much on side, certainly at the beginning of his second presidency. And then in recent weeks, well, certainly since he met President Zelensky at Pope Francis's funeral, he changed his tune a bit, saying that he felt that the Russian president was tagging me along. But now he is prepared to meet him face to face. It's hard to get a handle on it, isn't it?
It's very hard. And I mean, of course, we see Putin calling for direct talks. Zelensky then says, OK, I'm willing to go to Turkey and I'll be there. Trump then says maybe he'll even show up. Then Trump doesn't show up either because Putin's not coming or because he just decided not to. I mean, in that clip, he says if I'd shown up, of course, Putin didn't come because I wasn't there. So then it raises the question of, well, why didn't you just go and put pressure on him to go? So there are all of these dynamics happening. I spoke to one EU official yesterday who's heavily involved in the process who told me, you know, it's just clear since day one that Trump has put so much more pressure on Zelensky. Had Zelensky been the first one to not show, had he not gone to Turkey or had he refused the idea of a meeting, certainly this would have been used both by Russia and by the Trump administration to say that Ukraine, you know, was not ready for peace. But because Zelensky made that effort, which he had to, even though I'm sure that it was in some ways personally painful for him to have to agree to that and to show up and kind of take that role on looking not desperate, but, you know, he doesn't want to look like Russia's in charge of what happens or not. You know, as they always say, no talks about Ukraine without Ukraine. So he was willing to make the meeting happen. At least Trump did acknowledge that. And yes, we've certainly seen that maybe Trump's tune on Putin is changing, but the possibility of a face-to-face meeting for Putin would be a big win. And I'm sure he thinks he can convince Trump of his path whenever they do speak directly. Okay,
well, the Kremlin has just said that a meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin over Ukraine was undoubtedly necessary. And this was following on from Donald Trump saying that nothing would be resolved until the two leaders met. And then in the last few minutes as well, we do have confirmation that the delegation from Russia and the delegation from Ukraine are meeting at the moment in Istanbul. But as you have already told us, these are such low-level delegations that really it's hard to see how any progress will be made. Now, while all of this is going on, we have the Europeans, the EU, saying that they're looking today, this is Kaya Kallas this morning, at the next round of sanctions on Russia. So the pressure does seem to be coming to bear in a more coordinated way again on Vladimir Putin.
Yes, and there's this constant question, of course, whether the US will agree with Europe on the question of sanctions. Trump originally said, you know, even just a few weeks or a month or so ago, he said, oh, I think Russia has plenty of sanctions against it already. Of course, it's not enough sanctions to stop the war effort in any way. And so what we'll have to see now, and what I think European officials have been frustrated by, is the flip-flop from their US counterparts. They just don't understand where the US stands. So this idea of trying to get some sort of united European front on sanctions and encourage the US to back them up, you know, that sounds reasonable, but at the same time, I'm sure that that wouldn't happen probably before a direct meeting between Trump and Putin. Trump might be afraid that that could, you know, cast a shadow over that meeting. And of course, he's had a sort of affection for Putin for many years now. And so it's just so hard to tell. His views change so frequently. And I know the Ukrainians are just, their view is that they need to do everything they can to seem open to peace and to try to prove to the US especially that they are not the obstacle to peace. I mean, even yesterday, we had a Ukrainian diplomat who was in Turkey waiting and participating in the various talks tell us, we will waste as much time as we need to until the US understands that it's not us really wasting time. It is the Russians who are wasting everyone's time, including America's.
And as this merry-go-round of meetings happens then in Turkey, who's there and who's not, Russian attacks on Ukraine have continued, Siobhan.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, overnight, of course, as usual, air raid sirens, increased air alert. We see attacks on various cities, you know, some close to the front line, but there's just a constant barrage of Shahed drones that torment the skies every single night that are wearing down Ukrainian air defenses. Ukraine is, of course, also pleading with the U.S. to continue supplying air defense during this time. You know, we don't think that Ukraine will see a Russian ceasefire agreement if that were to come to bear as any sort of buffer against future Russian attacks. They want equipment from the U.S., so they're obviously worried as well, that if Trump says, well, there's a ceasefire, you guys don't need Patriot missiles anymore, that will give Russia the opportunity to then, you know, raise a false flag and say that the Ukraine broke the ceasefire and then attack Ukraine and they'll be out of air defense. So there are all of these very complicated layers to this. Ukraine remains totally unable to protect its skies from Russian attack. And Russia continues to make clear that they do not believe Ukraine is an independent and sovereign nation. They do not want it to pursue an independent future in Europe. Mm-hmm. And that is really what's at stake here. And I think we can't forget that.
Siobhan, many thanks for bringing us up to date on all of that. That's Siobhan O'Grady, who's Ukraine Bureau Chief for The Washington Post.